Breaking Bits, the podcast, episode 25. I am Eric M. Hall. Wow. Let's try that again.
Wow. I thought we weren't going to tell them about us.
No, we weren't. No. It was final.
We all moved right, to Massachusetts and got this done.
I probably would take your last name.
Yeah, I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, of course. All right. It's time for greatness. Breaking Bits, the podcast, episode 25. I am Eric M. Hunter, and with me, as always, is newly knighted Sir Thomas Hall.
Greetings.
And salutations.
To you as well.
Let's get started with our quick question of the day. Tom?
Yes?
Which gaming soundtrack always gets stuck in your head?
Oh, that one's easy. That's Ocarina of Time.
Ah. Any song in particular, or like the theme? Or
Zelda's Lullaby will. The Song of Storms will. Sometimes a little Kakariko Village.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sometimes the actual title screen. It's just like that nice little mellow, smooth, just really tickles your earballs. Yeah.
Yes.
That whole thing. Like, I'll catch myself not even, like, consciously doing it, but I'll be whistling something from that soundtrack. And, like, it's worse when I go through my yearly playthrough. It's all that's coming out of me is Zelda tunes.
Do you ever do, like, a couple of notes and then, like, stop yourself because you're like, oh, I do. No, I can't sing that song again.
Or I'm like, well, I don't think everybody in this elevator would appreciate this. So, you know.
So I'm just going to rip some ass instead.
Yeah. I'm like, surprise! And now begin blaming each other.
Whoever smelt the Delta. For me, it's a toss-up between Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I think the reason behind that is because there is like that one main theme, the overworld theme that constantly plays. But when you move from world to world, the instruments change. So it's still the same song, but it's just got a different gravitas to it. Mm-hmm. And some of those will get stuck in my head. And
that's
then some selected tracks from Super Mario RPG will just suddenly creep in, which is the weirdest thing. Because like, I'll start singing it in my head, and I'm like, oh, shit, what's that from? And the only one I can remember like right away is if it's the forest. Was it like the Mysterious Forest or whatever that level was called? But like any of the other ones, like Mole Village or Moleville, or I don't know. It's been a while since I played that game. But
I have never played that game, believe it or not.
Oh, really? It's good.
I have it too, but I have never played it.
You should play it. It's good.
All right.
I mean, do you enjoy?
You talked me into it.
RPG games, or
yeah, I just never got to it.
Because if you ever wanted a hand-holding, carrying you around with kid gloves kind of RPG, it's going to be Super Mario RPG. Ugh. Yeah. It's pretty...
I hate kid gloves.
It's pretty impressive in terms of how easy it really is.
But so, with my schedule, perhaps that would be okay.
Yeah.
Just be able to kind of breeze through it a bit.
Yep. Have a good time.
Neato.
So, yeah.
No. Well, that's exciting.
It is. So play that. Let me know what you think. But before you do that, have you been playing recently?
So it's been kind of filthy casual kind of a couple of weeks.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Oh, like the filthy casual gamer? Because, you know, like Mr. I am a hardcore video gamer. How dare you play games that are fun to you that aren't actually AAA titles, blah. You know those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, the running joke is, oh, I'm a filthy casual because I'm not the hardcore gamer.
Gotcha.
Meh. Anyway, I haven't had a whole lot of time to get into anything deep, So I've been getting into stuff that isn't deep, and I pulled one out of my backlog, which sounds like a horrible euphemism, on Steam, and it's called Cook, Serve Delicious.
Okay. Come on, man. Like,
well, I did. I had a backlog day, not day, but I was trying to pull a couple things out of the backlog to see how long it would take me to find something great. Because that reminds me, I have another one I'll tell you about in a second. It was horrible, but Cook, Serve Delicious is actually really fun. It's a management, or it's a restaurant management game, but plus lets you do all of the cooking. And so, like, there'll be a queue of four or five people, and the queue gets bigger as you level up your restaurant. And they'll all want shit, of course, and then say, like, I don't know, the guy wants a burger. And it takes you to the prep station, and, you know, you throw a couple patties on the grill, and you go back and, like, take the next order while they're cooking. And, like, that guy wants fried chicken, and so you go and drop the fryer. And now the burgers are ready, so you pull them off the grill, and then he tells you, all right, I want, you know, like, lettuce, tomato, bacon, ketchup, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you have to serve it correctly and give it to him. And then throughout the shift at the restaurant, you also have to do these chores. Like, sometimes you got to do dishes, and sometimes you got to throw out the trash or clean the bathroom. Like, all of this going on simultaneously. And, like, everything's on a timer. So, like, if customers are waiting too long, they'll get pissed off and leave, or you'll lose the chance to do those chores, and then, like, your restaurant rating will suffer because you have a filthy shithole of a restaurant. And then, every day you get a bunch of emails before your shift, but some of them are intentionally spam emails. Like, this is where it's kind of funny. Some of them are actually make reference to other indie games. Like, there was one specifically to Papers, Please, where it's like, watch out for this guy named Georgie. We think he's from the province of Aristotska.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit, I played that and loved it. So that's actually, it's really fun, and it's interesting that it does have controller support, and you may want to come down here and check me for a fever after I say this, but this game is actually better with a keyboard.
Oh yeah, I would hope so.
Because stuff like the ingredients will be mapped to the first letter of the ingredient most of the time. So, like, I want mushrooms, so when I push M, you know, or lettuce, L, whatever.
Yeah, it makes it faster.
Yeah, there's times when that's not the case, though, and that's kind of bullshit. Like, on a pizza, mushroom is, like, U or something, and sausage is M, and none of that makes sense to me. And so, yeah, but I mean, aside from that, it's very good. It's very fun. The game I've forgotten about until I started talking about this one. There was a game in my library that I had no idea what it was or how it got there, and I was assuming it was a bundle, and it was called Dinner Date.
Dinner Date.
Yes. And I was like, this is either going to be amazing or terrible. There is not going to be gray area with this. I lasted 6 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So longer than McPixel. So that's good.
No, I actually had to play that longer because fucking we were reviewing it.
Right. Right.
But the idea is that you're going to have a dinner date. I'm like, all right. And so then the game explains to you that you're not playing as the character. You're playing as his consciousness. I was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And they never really tell you. Then they go on to start to explain to you the controls, in which every button on the keyboard, like all the QWERTY buttons, are mapped to a different finger on your hand.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, this is going south. And so then the dinner date is actually in your shitty apartment, right? And so the game starts, and you're sitting there at a table with a candle, and there's nobody else there but you. And you look up at the clock, because, like, buttons will start appearing on the screen that'll tell you you can look at shit, like, press L to look at the clock or whatever. And every time you look at something, he starts going off on this inner monologue, and then he'll finish it, and it'll have you look at something else, and this will keep happening until you rage quit this game, or at least that's how it happened for me. That's what you did.
Right.
It's like, wait, so the chick's never going to show up? I mean, and I'm like, wait a minute, what if she does? What do I care? It's like, fuck this.
You're on a dinner date.
Yeah, so. And eventually you start eating without her because she's stood you up. I don't know if she ever shows up. Or he's like, maybe her bus is just late. And I was like, well, maybe you fucking should have gone and got her.
So the date never takes place.
It might. I never gave it a chance. I was like after 6 minutes of listening to this guy whine and bitch, and I was like, fuck a whole lot of this.
Yeah.
And then the last piece of the casual sampler, again, this is like the Eric Hunter head shaker hour.
It's yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Oh, and you're going to hate this one, too. A little something got released over on the Xbox One. Like, I stay out of that Xbox One store on the console as much as possible because shit like this happens.
Okay.
They've brought Monopoly to the Xbox One.
Of course they have, man. Monopoly is like the... It's the chlamydia in the gaming industry. It's on everything.
Oh, but I like Monopoly.
No, I love Monopoly. But they, I mean, there's multiple ports and titles on a single system, and they're on every single system.
So, I bought Monopoly. There was like a family pack, and it comes with Monopoly and a board editor, like a different app that lets you make your own Monopoly board.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and then their card game Monopoly Deal, which is a real game that you can go out to the store and buy. And it was always fun when I played it with friends. That one's not very fun because you have to play it on Xbox Live, and I think I'm one of two people actually playing it.
Right.
So it's not very fun, and maybe it'll get fun if more people play it, but whatever. And I was like, man, Monopoly, I bought it, this is great, God, I can't wait. And then I turned it on, and I got the Ubisoft splash, and I was like, oh, no!
Wow, so Ubisoft is making Monopoly games now.
And they immediately make you sign into Uplay.
Yeah.
God, I fucking hate you, Ubisoft. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I want you to eat a bag of dicks. Terrible. The game itself is surprisingly just like every other... like video incarnation of this game in that.
No, really? It hasn't changed in 30 years?
Hold on. In that it has an okay, semi-catchy background tune that plays the whole time, an announcer that knows four things and won't shut the fuck up. yeah. A computer that makes you terrible trade offers. Yeah. Rose is like, how have we not improved on these core things? Like, there's not a lot of things to improve on here. It's Monopoly. So it's like, once you figure out how to program Monopoly, you're done. So then we could work on stuff like, oh god, this announcer's annoying as shit. Maybe we can do something besides put in a separate volume control for him so people can turn him off. Maybe we can make him useful. Nope. No.
That's gonna cost a lot of money.
Yep. No appearance by the Monopoly guy.
No Mr. Moneybags?
Like, he has an animated role in so many other of the Monopoly games.
Yeah.
Nowhere to be found on this one. And I was like, is this a bootleg Monopoly? Did you not actually have the license? And I'm like, what happened? How did you wind up not putting the Monopoly guy in here? Fuckers. But they have two modes to it. They have the regular board, and then they have like, how do they call it? Monopoly Plus is what they call it. And the board, the center of it, instead of just being like the regular boring board, it's actually like a living city that kind of changes as you buy, you know, properties and build houses. It's kind of nice. It's a cool graphical
that's
update.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was cool. It's fun. I played 2 hours, 3 hours of it, which is like two games. And I got 810 achievement points out of the 1,000. And I was like, so it's also a good achievement booster. Because Chivos. So that's been my filthy casual couple of weeks as I've had time here and there. So
that's dirty, Tom.
Yeah. Filthy casual hour.
Super dirty.
How about you?
I am continuing to play through The Walking Dead Season 1.
How's that going?
It's going extremely well. I've made it to... I think I'm starting like the last episode.
Oh.
Which... is interesting because I've put like 11 hours into this. And I'm thinking, how long is this taking me to play this game?
As long as it needs.
So, and it kind of it kind of got me thinking about, because the game was released episodically, so I'm curious as to how I would be feeling if I had like gone when each episode was released and then played it and then have to wait. I think that's a pretty interesting idea for releasing and playing a game, kind of in bits and pieces. I think that's kind of neat. I've really enjoyed the how different the characters are, because in the beginning of the game, oh, there's going to be spoilers galore in this, just so you know. Because for one, I don't really give a shit if you played this game or not, and two, I mean, you can't really talk about this game and not spoil it.
Very true.
So, but when you first started playing the game, you get introduced to a core of characters extremely quickly, and at the point in the process of the story, like the outbreak of zombies has practically just happened. Not too much time has passed, maybe just a week at the most. And everybody's kind of on this, they're all the kind of the same character. We just need to survive. We need to get the fuck out of here. We need to survive. And then as the game goes on, you slowly start to learn each of the different characters and what makes them unique and their personalities and stuff like that. And then you realize that all of these characters are so different in terms of just like their backgrounds and how they grew up and what their beliefs are. And the game forces you to make a choice and who you end up siding with and that kind of thing. And you wouldn't know any of that unless if you took the time to play the game. Like, I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but it's like it says the warning, I guess you could say, at the beginning of each episode states that you change how you experience the game, which to me was a misconception, because when this game came out, people were complaining like, oh, the choices don't matter, the game still plays. And it's like, well, yeah, but that's not what it's about. It's your experience playing the game changes by the choices you make.
They never claimed it didn't, you know, they
Right.
just.
Yeah. So like I think that's a very specific thing. Like they were very delicate when they were putting that little warning screen up, I think. But it's like the last big thing that happened was, you know, Duck gets bitten and you have to kill him off. So, which is weird, because I was like, well, this kid's gonna die. I mean, fucking, this is just, that's what happens when you get bitten by a zombie, in case you didn't know.
It's over.
But it was, I don't know if it was just because I wasn't listening or wasn't paying attention, but Katia, which is such an interesting name. I don't know if it's like French or something.
We.
The mom, Duck's mom, like that. Her character and Kenny are so different, but yet they're married and have a child. You know what I mean? And it just
Opposites attract.
yeah. Like, and it's, I don't know, like it was just like right when they were right when like Katya was like, no, we need to handle this now. And Kenny's like, no, we can wait. He'll be fine. What if he gets better? Blah blah blah. And it's like you're standing there and you're like, dude, I know this sucks. I know it's your kid. Everybody goes through this, but you're just, you know, making up excuses like shit needs to be taken care of. But I mean, I just, it was so funny because like Kenny's like this backwoods hillbilly redneck, you know, and like Katya is like, oh, she's very proper and she's a veterinarian. And, you know, Kenny probably never went to college or even finished high school. So I got to thinking, I get to have more metagaming outside of like, what is their story? How did they get together? Like, because they're so differing characters. So this, I'm fucking mad at this game because it's making me care about shit that I don't care to care about. So it's like I care if Clementine knows how to shoot a gun, you know. Like I care if, regardless of what I think is of Ben, even though he's this big teenage pussy, like I still care to talk to him and know what his feelings are of the situation. And I don't like that. Upsets me. So.
Yet you love it.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I'm on the last episode, so
Yeah, episode 5.
yeah.
Yeah, it's the last one.
So I'll play through that and then give a final verdict next time.
It's a powerful ending. That's all I'll tell you. So, did you get the? There was DLC they put out after that, 500 days.
No, I saw that. I have not. I do not have it yet. So
it's pretty good. It doesn't tie in specifically to, you know, this story at all. It's more like stories of, I think, three or four other people during this time. And so it's kind of cool. It's a good little package.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how I feel after season one, if I want to continue.
I'm probably going to pick up the season two here before too long. But there's a bundle now in the Xbox store with both seasons together for like $25. I was like, that's probably worth it.
Yeah, because I think it's 15, isn't it, just for one?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saving $5. So yeah, been playing that mostly. Oh, Quake Live, still playing
Quake Live.
I actually broke down and purchased a pro subscription.
Nice. What does that give you?
I have officially surpassed like 34 hours of in-game playing time.
Hmm.
And the pro subscription was actually on sale, 50% off.
So you couldn't afford not to. Bucks.
Right.
So what does the pro subscription give you?
Well, so normally the pro subscription would give you access to the rest of the arenas. So there's like over 100 arenas you can fight in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And before you could only do maybe like 15 or 20. But they were the most popular ones, the 15 or 20.
Right.
And then they would start switching them out for other ones just so you can get a taste of what's going on. You can set up your own servers, create your own custom matches, stuff like that. So,
okay.
The way I was looking at it was I've already put enough time into this game to warrant an amount of money to keep me playing, so I might as well just purchase it to help support. Like they fucking need support, but still, you know, it makes me feel better.
Right.
That I'm like, okay, I'm playing this game. It was essentially free to play, and I've probably put more time into this game than any game I've played in the past 8 months, so I might as well.
The thing that chuck would them a few bucks. Stop me, even with that being true, is knowing that the only other people I'm going to encounter now are going to be other people who have put in as much, if not more, time than myself.
No, that's not true. So even though if you own a pro subscription, the game works on twofold. So it works against just your common wins and losses.
Uh-huh.
But it also has a skill curve as well. So I was checking my stats. Oh, that was another thing. You get to get full reign of your stats, like what your overall accuracy is and how many kills, how many deaths. So I had something in the neighborhood of 13,000 deaths, but I've only had like 6,000 kills.
That's not a very good KD.
No, it's not. Well, I'm fucking terrible at this game, Tom.
Yeah.
But I can't stop playing it.
Can you play it with a controller?
I mean, it does have partial controller support, but you really don't want to play this with a controller.
Then I really don't want to play it.
Yeah, this game's just way too fast. Like,
cannot do keyboard and mouse controls on shooters. I can't do it.
Yeah, it took me a while to get used to. But
even when we did TF2 for One More Castle Game Night, I was using a controller.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I didn't do too bad.
Did you tell anybody? Or?
Nope.
Okay. The cat's out of the bag.
Yep.
So that's what normally the pro subscription was. But before I purchased it, I started noticing things that were part of the free-to-play model that were no longer available. Such as after you finish a match, you're able to start another one right away. So there's a voting system that goes up the second that the game's over. And you get to pick three different areas, and each area has a different game mode. So you can either play as just like Team Deathmatch or Domination, which is kind of like Capture the Flag or King of the Hill, I guess. Freeze Tag, which is one of my favorite games. If you didn't have a pro subscription, now you can no longer vote.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when I noticed that, I was like, well, that's odd, because I used to be able to vote before, and now I can't vote. So I purchased a pro subscription, and now I can vote. And since I'm still just playing randoms online, just being matched up according to like my skill set and stuff like that, I am traditionally the only person who has a pro subscription. So I am the only one who can vote on the next game, which is awesome. So now we only get to play the games that I want to play, which I thought was funny.
Suck it, noobs.
Yeah. And then they destroy me. So yeah, I was like, well, that's kind of shitty. Like, you're starting to take away functionality that was part of the free-to-play model, and now it's part of the pro subscription. So, like, I'm kind of like, if I had any chances of being anywhere decent with this game, I'd be a little pissed off. Luckily, I don't, so I'm not too upset about it.
Fee to pay.
Yeah. But I did win out at the end of the day. Because by purchasing a pro subscription, I got a trading card that was Quake Live specific. And this particular trading card apparently sells of upwards of dollars.
Wow.
And I was able to sell it for $19,
Holy shit.
which effectively gave me a free year of Quake Live. So,
That's amazing.
yeah.
That's a
I
lot
was,
of money, man.
yeah, for just a fucking card. And like I looked back in the past 6 months of this card being sold, and only like maybe 15 of them were sold. So
Wow.
apparently they're super rare, and I could give two shits about these digital trading cards. So
Right.
I was like, oh, like I put it up for sale for like it was like $18 or $19 or something like that. And I shit you not, within 15 minutes it was sold. And I was like, wow, that's you people are idiots.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are just stupid.
So dumb.
So, thank you for my free year of Quake, though, whoever. Anonymous buyer of digital goods.
Dumb shit 74.
Yeah. So I think I won in the end.
You
So I'll take
did.
it. So.
You're a winner. A winner is you, Eric
A winner
Hunter.
is I. A winner is me,
Good
for
shit.
sure. Tom, what about some news?
Let's get on it.
Let's get in some news.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, and Tom, I don't know if you know or not,
I might.
but recently was the Game Awards 2014.
Yeah, I didn't watch them.
No, I didn't either. I had planned on watching it because I was like, you know, I'm not one for award ceremonies to begin with, but this is video game eccentric. They're supposed to have some world premieres of stuff and some, you know, gameplay footage of games that are set to be released. So I'm like, sweet, you know, I'll watch it. So then curious me decided to go through the nominees to see what games were going to be nominated for what awards.
Curious Hunter.
And they have a Best Remake Award, and that's why I decided not to watch it.
Not a fan of the remakes, eh?
No.
I didn't watch it because I just think the whole thing's bullshit.
Right.
And it's them wrapping up a 3-hour commercial with under the guise of, well, we're gonna give out some awards that you voted on.
Right. Which nobody did. Nobody votes on this
And I was
shit.
like, I will wait and watch the see the buzz
Yeah.
and like the two games where everybody's like, holy shit, I can't believe they showed that, blah blah blah. Then I'll go to YouTube and I'll watch the trailer or the reveal or whatever, and I'll have saved myself an entire evening of my life.
There you go.
And
Well, Tom,
that was what I did.
speaking of one of those reveals, Nintendo has revealed new gameplay footage of The Legend of Zelda for the Wii U.
They sure did.
And boy, was it glorious.
I watched it a few times.
It was, man, like, fucking, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Like, there's just a lot of intuitive things I saw that they did. They're continuing to strive to make that gamepad useful.
Yes, and I think they're, because I mean the Wii U's been out for how long now? 3 years, 2 years.
Years.
So, like anything else, man, like you come up with this great idea, and nobody fucking knows how to use it, and it's typically not until like the end of the life cycle of the console itself, where something groundbreaking comes out, and they're like, yeah, we figured out how to use this. Oh, you're releasing new hardware now. Thanks, awesome, that's great,
Yeah.
you know. And you see it every time, like with the 360 and Grand Theft Auto 5, I mean, shit, even back to the NES when Wario Woods came out, like that game was a masterpiece when it came to graphical and processing power that hadn't been seen on the Nintendo because nobody fucking knows how to do it. So
Yeah.
I think we're starting to get into that time, especially with the Wii U, since it has a year up on everybody else, where they're like, especially Nintendo's like, okay, I think we figured this out. Let's start steamrolling these out so third parties can jump on board and shit like that. So,
Was like this, what they showed looks like this generation should look.
yeah.
A huge world. Or he's like, oh, it's still going to take 3 or 4 more minutes to get where we're going.
Well, just the draw distance.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm so used to retro gaming, but like, the draw distance is just disgusting.
Oh, so disgusting.
So disgusting.
That statement he made, well, Epona will just kind of control herself because real horses don't run into trees.
Yeah.
Correct!
Right. It's like, I mean, how hard is that? Like, how.
Now I can do all of the other side shit I've always needed to do, but I've been busy controlling the fucking horse.
Yeah.
On that jump off where he goes into like crouching tiger mode.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to bring up. So I'm a little. I mean, it's bullet time. That's all it is. It's bullet
Yeah.
time. Bullet time in a Zelda game.
Yep. Well,
I
hey,
mean,
it
I
wasn't a quick
like.
time event.
No, it wasn't. I don't. I mean, they have those too in some Zelda games, but. I like the idea, but what I'm fearful of is that they are going to overuse it, and it's going to be like a thing that you always go into. You know what I mean?
Like Z targeting?
Yes, exactly, like Z targeting. Like it's just going to be something where it's going to be like you're going to be fighting somebody one on one, and they're getting ready to, you know, do an overhead swipe with a sword or something, and then it's going to like goo.
Yeah, which I'll
And then,
hate.
like, Link's gonna be like, what? Hey, I'm really, what? Okay, gotcha. You know, I don't want that, man. I
Right.
really don't want that.
Here's the thing, the little thing I saw that I don't like. They've done this on the 3DS, and they're doing it here too. When he was looking on that map, he held the gamepad out and was turning it physically.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, my chairs aren't set up for that here. So if I gotta look at something that's behind me, or too far to one side, I'm not gonna be able to go and see it. And
Yeah.
I was like, so. But the other thing they do on the 3DS when that's a control option is you can also use the stick in that mode
Yeah, they give you the
to
ability to
scroll.
turn it
So as
off.
long as they do that's cool. But
Yeah.
I don't want to hold the gamepad out and do shit like that. I
Yeah.
just don't want to. The other interesting thing in that was Star Fox.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
So
it'll be out before Zelda.
right. Which was kind of
I
like
don't know if that was a
so.
dig or if.
Well, that's the thing. So it's the whole reveal is a little confusing because obviously these guys are Japanese and their English is either non-existent or absolutely terrible.
Right, so it was
So they had
dubbed.
voiceovers dubbing
Which I would
them.
have gladly done for free.
Well, yeah, but it's like you're listening to the English translators. And you're also watching their faces, and it's like, you know, when they say something, and it's like, oh, well, he's not laughing. That doesn't seem like it was supposed to be a joke. You know what I mean? Like, because there
Yes.
was like, oh,
You're
yeah, you know, well, in Majora's Mask, like, yeah, it took us 10 years to finally figure out how we fixed it. Ha ha ha. And then it's like 10 seconds. And you're waiting for the guys on the screen to laugh, and then they're like, you know, like one just kind of slaps his knee, and I'm like, okay, clearly it wasn't that funny, and they're still a little pissed about it that it took them that long to make the game better and fix it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a weird review
Oh,
when they're
man.
showing it.
This next year is going to be so glorious.
And then just one other quick note that from the show that they kind of had a world premiere of, and it was definitely. That I'm excited for is the new King's Quest. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. That game looks really cool.
I didn't see that.
I've always been a fan of King's Quest, the old Sierra point and click adventure
Ugh.
games. Oh, so good.
I hate point and
All the
clicks.
great voice acting. So good. So bad. It's so good. Yeah, check out that trailer and see what you think. It looks pretty cool. I don't think it's going to be a point and click game. Like, I mean, there may be some pointing and clicking, but it looks more like it's going to be some sort of platformer, dungeon crawler kind of game. So,
Oh.
yeah,
Oh my.
definitely. So,
Cool.
well, let's move on to
Okay.
the idiots of Australia. That's right. You heard me.
Idiots down under.
Come at me, bro. Because Target in Australia has officially pulled GTA 5 from its shelves in the wake of a sex worker petition. Now, this is comedic on a few levels. One, this game is old as shit now, and they're just now pulling it off the shelf, which I find hilarious.
That's because it just came back out for this gen.
Yeah, but it's been out. Come on. Like,
Oh, I know, but they're like, eh.
right.
They were probably petitioning something else at the time, and they were busy.
We don't have time to petition GTA 5 as
Not
well.
made of petitions, Eric, okay?
So I just wanted to read a little bit of this article. It comes from Polygon because some of it just doesn't, it's hilarious to me. Grand Theft Auto 5 has been pulled from shelves in response to complaints from customers about the game's depiction of violence against women. The decision lands a day after Target publicly defended its decision to keep the games in the store. So they came out to the public and said, no, we're going to keep these games on shelves because people want to buy them. And then apparently tomorrow came and they were like, fuck it, we're going to take it off the shelf.
Pretty much.
So the news started with an online petition by survivors of violence, including sex industry workers, who are calling for the removal of the game from Target. The petition, which started back in November on November 29th, has reached 41,000 signatures this morning. So this was on the 3rd. So in 4 days, 41,000 signatures. That's pretty impressive. I'm not gonna lie. I just wish you would use your powers for good and not for evil.
Well, here's my question. Do they have equal petitions for movies that depicts things like this? Do they have equal petitions for the music that Target sells that almost glorifies this kind of behavior? Or are they just singling out a video game because they're fucks?
That is exactly correct. They are purely singling out this video game.
Also, Target, congratulations. Because you have begun, well, I wouldn't say begun, you have furthered the pushing of everyone towards buying digitally and not from a brick and mortar store. Because digitally, no one has to deal with this bullshit.
Right, yeah. You don't have to worry about assholes who
And so
run
you made a
a
choice
store.
over selling the rest of the goods in your store over your electronics. That's pretty much what this is.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet. Out of those 41,000 signatures, that less than 5% are actually gamers
Oh, it's probably less than that, I'm
that have
sure.
actually even ever picked up a game or have a console in their home.
Or even know what GTA 5 is, other than there are prostitutes in the game.
So it's more likely a bunch of people going off the opinion of one person that spread.
Right. Yeah, I laugh and cringe at the same time every time some ignorant asshole describes Grand Theft Auto as a domestic violence simulator.
Here's my favorite part of the article, actually, is Target of America is like, we don't know those fucking people.
Yeah, so it's
Like,
okay. It's where was it? Because I was just where I said, while no, it's up here. A representative from Target in the U.S. told Polygon that Target Australia is in no way connected to Target U.S., which I think is
It's
hilarious.
glorious.
So,
They're on their own. We don't know them. You've never seen us together, have you?
right. So while this the Target in Australia is pulling the R-rated game from store shelves, they will not be pulling other R-rated games, nor are they pulling R-rated DVDs. So it's
Right.
just Grand Theft Auto 5 that is being pulled. No other video games or movies.
And by pulled, we mean singled out.
Correct. Yeah. So
Good job, Australia. Good job. I got something down under for you.
Yeah, so that's just, you know, that's a fear-mongering. That's all it is. You know, games like this are grooming yet another generation of boys to tolerate violence against women. It is fueling the epidemic of violence experienced by so many girls and women in Australia and globally, which was part of the petition that was sent to Target. It shows the hatred and contempt for women in the sex industry and puts them at greater risk, according to the petition. Women in the industry are 40 times more likely to be murdered by a man than any other group of women.
Well, I'm sure that's all because of this video game. And for no other reasons whatsoever.
None. Because there isn't violence of any kind, domestic or gender-related, in any other form of media or even stepping outside. Or
definitely not. It is only this. Shame on you, Rockstar.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. And of course, to always end the news segment when I host the show on a good note, DayZ has released their development roadmap and their price increases. So for those who don't know, DayZ is a still in beta or alpha on the early access on Steam. It's a first-person shooter, kind of exploratory zombie hitch-em-upper.
Yeah.
I'm just making up words now.
It's a shooty bang.
It's a shooty bang. So, and we had a segment on the show many moons ago about how this game was utterly broken and completely nowhere near any idea of being playable, and yet they were charging $20 for it. We had a little grab fest on that. Now, recently, Steam happened to have a holiday sale, which at the time of this recording was 2 weeks ago now, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So DayZ originally was $20. When the sale started, the game was on sale for 33% off for $24.99, meaning they bumped the game $10 and then put it on sale for $24.99. So that's utter bullshit for one thing. But then I got to thinking, so this developer, Hicks, as they're known, they have already made a huge impact on this game in terms of just sales and profit. And the closer they get to a 1.0 release, an official release on this game, the price of the early access game will continuously go up.
Yeah.
Which I think poses a bigger question as to, is this morally right? Can you justify raising the price of your game the more it gets completed? Like, their ultimate goal is for the game to be released in early 2016. So right. We have a whole nother fucking year and a half of this these assholes in this fucking game to be $50. So they want it to be a AAA price for a AAA release. But I thought it was interesting that as the game becomes whole, the price goes up. Like, that's
it kind of makes, believe it or not, makes sense to me.
Yeah, like,
they're rewarding the people who bought in early.
Correct.
Like, see, you got this for half price.
But yeah, exactly. And then as the game becomes more and more completed, obviously it'll get more and more buzz as the game comes out because of all the new additions that they made, get more users.
I'm still not a fan of the whole practice of early access, but I don't know. I don't think this idea is terrible. I mean, if the people are going to buy into it, which they, of course, obviously are.
Right.
You know, this kind of gives an answer to the question of, well, what's in it for me besides your broken game?
Right, because this game's been, this game got released, what, at the beginning of the year?
Something like that.
Something like that. So I mean, it's gonna take them just over 2 years to complete this title, you know, again, I agree with you. Like, I'm not a big fan of these early access games. It's like, either put your game out or don't.
Right.
I don't want to see you doing it.
Or give me an open beta or something.
Right. Or if you are going to do it, I think this price structure makes sense. I mean, you still run the risk of the game never being completed, but I mean, this obviously they're going to finish this game because it's had so much publicity. The other thing that deters me is this was not discussed originally when the game was released.
Right.
Like, this just came out like a week or two ago that they were planning on bumping the price up to $50. Now, if I didn't know that going in, I'd be a little pissed.
Right.
But now, I think that this kind of pricing structure can be adapted to other early access games. And if anything, would help the game get released faster. You know?
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I just buy the game when it's done. Will you please, people?
Yeah. Just like, do you just give me a trailer every one every couple of months and.
Ba-boom.
You know? Yeah.
It doesn't even have to have production value. Just show you playing it.
That's yeah. All. Just give me some in game footage. That's all I want. In game footage.
So. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, I thought that was interesting.
It is.
I thought
it was yeah. Not a terrible strategy, and I think, you know, more stuff will evolve as early access becomes more prominent.
Right. Like, I agree.
Other people will come up with different ideas to soak you for money and, you know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man,
it's all about the money, Tom.
It's all about the Benjamins.
Except for in Australia, apparently they do not care for money.
No, they hate it.
Yeah. So.
Boo.
All right.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
All right.
Break. Okay.
And now it's time for Jonathan Blow's Tweet of the Week. Hi, I am an indie game developer. I think I will make a game where you can get cards and build your deck. It'll be sweet. 3 exclamation points. And that was Jonathan Blow's Tweet of the Week.
And we are back. Our review for this episode is a little title entitled Home. Home is a unique horror adventure set in a beautifully realized pixel world. It's a murder mystery with a twist, because you decide what ultimately happens. Awakened from an oncoming storm, you open your eyes to discover yourself in a strange, dark room, tucked away in a house that's not yours. As you play the game, it changes, subtly, almost imperceptibly, to reflect your perception. It's a horror game unlike any other, and as you'll discover, its truths are entirely subjective. Home.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, it's a point-and-click game.
It sure as fuck is.
So, what? How's that make you feel?
Not great. So here's why I didn't like it.
Okay.
I don't know about all of this game changes or whatever, but to me, they stooged off the ending in the first 3 minutes of me playing this game.
Okay, what do you mean?
How do we feel about spoilers?
I mean, I'm okay with spoilers.
All right, well, FYI, there's spoilers, peoples. So, as with any point and click, you should walk through every room or area you possibly can and click and touch everything that's clickable, which is one of the reasons I hate them so much. And so, in the house you wake up in, you walk down the hallway as far as you can, and you come across a thing, and it's like, oh, this has blood and mud stains on it, just like my shoes. And then you move on. And then you spend the next hour of your life pointlessly wandering around to find out that you're the fucking killer. And I was like, yeah, no shit. You told me that at 3 minutes into this game.
I think that's subjective.
To what?
I mean, just because you've got blood and mud on your...
That happens to match exactly to what's at the murder scene that you have just discovered?
It's not necessarily means that you're the killer.
It absolutely means you're the killer. It's like the whole rest of this game has no point now. Like, I know how it ends. You told me at the beginning.
Yeah, okay, so maybe. I'll give you maybe. Because, like, when I came across that, I was just like, oh, some serious shit went down. And that's all I thought. I just kept playing. Like, I don't know if I was just trying to experience the game for what it was, or I was giving it the benefit of the doubt, which I traditionally do for most things. But yeah, I was just, oh, something happened. And I walked through it. Maybe
they had the chance to tell this story and blow your mind with the reveal that you were the killer.
Right. Well, see, that was the interesting with the game, is because you can make it out like you're not. That you are not ultimately the killer. That's your decision. Because, I mean, there's parts in the game where it's like, did I do all this? And then you have a choice to think either yes, you did, or no, you didn't. Because if you click no, you didn't, which I did, towards the end of the game, it's like, no, this must have happened. Like, you start making up excuses for other possibilities.
But you're still the killer.
Are you, though? Because, I mean, you know, in terms of, you don't meet anybody else in this game. It's just you.
Right.
Like, there are...
Well, you don't meet anybody alive.
Right. Well, yeah. Anybody you do come across, they're dead. So, it's... The game is taking place practically in the character's own head, for the most part, with no outside influence from other people. So, if you say that it wasn't you, well, there's nobody there to deter that. I don't think you're buying it, Tom. You don't look like you're buying it. Okay.
I'm not.
So it's an interesting mind fuck is really the only way I can put it. Because you, when you're playing the game, it's written to a point where obviously it's the game consists of two entities. It's you and the character. And then as the game goes along, you start to have direct influence on what the character thinks. So now you are the character. Because you're controlling his consciousness by doing so. And again, with there not being any alive people around to tell you if you're right or wrong, you can create your own world and how things have come to be. So it's the majority of the game is just you going through these areas and discovering things. And a lot of it is... I'm trying to think of the right words to say it. A lot of the game is
bad.
Kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Like some of the stuff that you come across, it's like, oh, this door's locked. Okay, well, I want to get into the locked door, obviously. So let's get into the locked door. All right. So I've gone 15 minutes out of my way to find the key to unlock this door. Let's unlock the door. You go into the door of a factory that you're in, and it's kind of like a break room of sorts where there's lockers set up. You find your locker because you used to work in this factory. The entire place is trashed, and there's like a whole set of like beer bottles sitting in the corner. So clearly somebody has been here. You don't know who, and you come to find out that it was actually you, but you're not really sure why. So
yes, you don't know it was you.
Right. Well, I mean, technically you don't. Technically, you do have to dispend some belief when playing this game, I feel. And I was more than happy to do that because I was taken in by, like, I thought the graphics were really neat. It is very pixel-based. But
I'll give you that.
One of the interesting things is you have, like, a flashlight or lantern of sorts that, so you can only see with the light cascades for about 80% of the game. Which, that really intrigued me. I thought that was neat. The lighting effects were neat. I'm a sucker for ambient sounds. So when you're walking through the house, it sounds like you're walking on wooden floors that creak and split as you walk through.
Yeah.
When you're outside, you hear the wind howling, or you go through a chain link fence, and you can like hear the fence moving like it would in real life. Like, I'm a sucker for that shit. I love that stuff. So I think I was giving it the benefit of the doubt because the aesthetics were nice and they were pleasing to me. So,
yeah, it's just, it's like such like B movie stuff going on here. I find a videotape of one of the guys getting murdered and like, oh, I can't quite make out who the murderer is. Yeah, of course you can't. Right. And it's like, oh, look, I'm randomly finding my wallet and things from it through the woods as I'm walking. Wow, how about that? And it's like, this notebook is in familiar handwriting. Yeah, it sure is. Oh, look, the factory that I worked at. How convenient.
Right.
Oh, look, one of my best friends. God, I like him. Oh, man, he's murdered. I wonder how that happened.
I mean, you're right. Like the developer could have did a little bit better in terms of the actual writing to make it feel like it was a complete setup to him, and they like thought of everything, you know, it was like a mastermind. And then if the reveal would have came at the end that you were actually the one who was killing everybody, like, it wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, what a twist. But I would have felt like, well, fuck, man. I was kind of believing that, like, somebody had set me up, you know?
Yeah. And it was just like, even a game that's in a genre I don't like can be saved with good storytelling.
Right.
And this just had terrible storytelling.
Yeah, it was subpar at best. I don't know, like, there wasn't, really all you do is walk around and look at things. Like, there's very few puzzles to complete. There's very few locked doors. I think I beat the game in like 20 minutes, and that felt long.
Yeah. I kept playing through hoping that there would be a twist. Like, someone had assumed my identity, or
right.
There was going to be a final showdown with a murderer that was in my house. And I was like, maybe. I was like, there's no way they're going to make this so obvious, and then they're going to reveal me as the killer.
Right.
No way. And then they did. I was like, wow. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
All right, I guess.
Yeah, that definitely could have been better. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for what it was, I mean, the game retails for like $2.99. And yeah. I think for $3, it's a pretty good, it's a fun little romp.
I think you could find something better for $3.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, part of it, so the game comes up that he, it gets revealed that he sleepwalks. Has his whole life, so that's how he ends up in these situations.
It's so hacky.
Which, I mean, I can relate to that, because I sleepwalk, not as much as I used to, but...
Like in Step Brothers?
Yeah. Like, it used to be, like, I grew up on a farm, and, like, we had barns and cows and stuff, and I would sleepwalk into the barn and wake up on a bale of hay. Like, it's scary shit, man, when that happens, especially if you're, like, 12 years old, you know? So, like, I related a little bit. I mean, thank God I don't go on a ravenous killing spree, but...
That you know of.
That I know, exactly. So, but I actually, I think because of that, and, like, again, because of the aesthetics and stuff, like, I was, not only was I giving this game the benefit of the doubt, but I was reading into it more than I should have. Mm. And, like, I started making, like, so towards the end of the game, you go back to your house. And you're looking for your wife, and you find her practically dismembered in the basement in a bloody bag, and you pass out, and the game goes black, and then it comes back up, and when you wake back up, you kind of go through the same motions as you did at the very beginning of the game, where you don't really know where you're at, and you're still looking for your girlfriend or your wife. You're not sure what's going on. Why is everything so quiet? And out loud, I was like, oh, fuck, he doesn't remember. Like, I'm going to have to go back through the entire game again and experience all these things. And I'm going to end back up in the house. And this is just something that he does every other night, is like he'll sleepwalk from one part of the one location to another. And I was like, that's fucking amazing. And then that didn't happen. And I was like, wow, I'm buying into this way too much for whatever reason, either because I think I could do it better or what have you. I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But I just felt like, and I was like, oh man, this is going to be great. Cause like, he's going to have a different objective. And he's going to look at things differently now because we're going back through them. And then the game ended. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess not. It's not.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. Nerp.
No. So it's, I don't know, man. Like I enjoy, it's one of those games that I enjoyed playing for what it was. I do have my reservations about it. It was $3. I'll never play it again. I feel that the writing could have been better because I think everything else was on point, like the graphics and the sounds and stuff.
Yeah, no qualms there.
Yeah, I enjoyed, like, every time you opened a door, it was a very, like, Resident Evil-style door opening. I thought that was neat. I was like, oh, okay, like, I never get tired of that animation. Like, I always think that's
like,
fun.
I constantly was waiting for something to be on the other side of the door.
Right, yeah. Or, like, a fight never... or a battle or...
Yeah. Or there never was. And I guess that's okay. That's part of the suspense of it.
Yeah. But...
And it just did such a terrible job of telling the story. It's... Nah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It isn't worth the hour of your life.
Yeah, maybe it did take me like an hour.
That's what it took me.
Yeah, it probably did. I don't know what I was thinking.
I tried to go into every room and go through everything and take my time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, trying to give this game the chance to, you know...
redeem itself.
Yeah,
yeah.
To actually fix the storytelling as it went. Or have it turn out that it was telling a great story.
Yeah, like I feel if this game has any kind of success, I would enjoy playing the better version of this after this game, because I think there's a lot of psychological things that happen within this game from when you're playing it that are new and interesting to me. And I like the ideas of those. I just want somebody to play this game and then sit down and say, okay, I can do this better. I can write this better. I can end this better. And that's the game that I want to play.
Sure.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do know. I just spent the past 15 minutes talking about it. I don't know why I say it. I say I don't know all the time, like even after like a 20-minute rant. Like, I don't... Like,
even after you have proven that you, in fact,
do know. I don't know.
One of those vocabulary things.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think everybody's got one.
It's one of those. One of those.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, I enjoyed the game. I will not play this again. This game is definitely not for everybody, which is...
obviously.
Well, it's one of the great things about just this podcast, I think, anyway, and this podcast as a whole, is just the... We have such different mindsets on things, but yet we're both passionate about what we talk about. So, you know, anytime that we talk about The Legend of Zelda, like it's...
I am nothing if not passionate.
Yeah, I'm 6 to midnight in a heartbeat, so...
Oh, yeah. Like, my desk goes up at an angle.
That's right. Everything's cockeyed.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Did you like that? You like that?
I did. That was good.
So I can't
write that down as a potential show title.
Nice. So I cannot recommend this game for everybody. But if you are a listener of the show, you're even a reader of the website, and you enjoyed some of these games that I've enjoyed that Tom has not. Well, I'm trying. What was that one game where it's like you pick the four different characters and then you kind of go to the different places in the city?
I have no mouth, but I must scream.
No, that's... I like that one.
I didn't like that one either, right? Or did I? I don't remember.
I'm gonna have to look. Damn it!
Experiment 12? No.
It was an early one.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find it.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
It was... the episode was called "Playing a Book."
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Because I felt like I was playing a book.
I'll edit all this out.
Nah. I think the people like behind the scenes stuff.
No, I'm going to edit all this out. Come on, Tom. It's crazy. Dead air. Nobody works for dead air. Playing a book.
That's your elevator music while Hunter looks for stuff.
Episode 5.
Wow. Was it really that long ago?
Yeah, it was.
Jeez.
The Yogg. That's what it was.
The Yogg. How could you forget the Yogg?
How could you forget the Yogg? So, if you, dear listener, typically take my stance on these types of adventure games, and you enjoyed the Yogg as I did, you will enjoy this game.
This game is nothing like the Yogg, though.
No, but I gave the Yogg the benefit of the doubt as well, pretty tremendously.
That would be like if I didn't like Tetris and you did. You'd be like, if you liked Tetris, then go play Gone Home. or home, or whichever one this one is.
No, that doesn't. Home. No, this game's kind of like, whatever, man. Anyway. Asshole. So, yes. If you tend to side with me in agreements, I would say you would enjoy it, at least for one sitting.
And if you're the one person out there who agrees with me usually, don't.
Don't waste your money.
And by that I mean don't play it. I don't mean don't agree with me. Everyone should agree with me.
Well, everybody should agree with you. Just don't play the game.
Everyone! No one may have differing opinions. That was my impression of the internet. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's good. It's internets. The interwebs.
Hey, it's my turn to pick, isn't it?
It most certainly is, so I'm excited.
We're, I guess, based on the title of this game, we're going to have a very short review next episode. Because we are going to play a game called No Time to Explain.
Hey!
Yeah.
That's
a game I've wanted to play for like a year.
Yes.
And every time
weird.
I go
me
to
too.
Play it, I'm like, nah, let's try something different. And I don't know what keeps stopping me, so we're going to force ourselves to play it.
Well, for me, it's like I'm in the same boat. Like, I watched a Let's Play of the game, and I was like, wow, this game is so weird and out there.
See, I just
and
watched the
like,
trailer.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And the game's like $5.99 or something like that, which is a weird enough price point for me to wait for it to go on sale.
Which is what I did. That's how I have it.
Exactly.
But
so,
you,
like,
you
when it went on
it.
Sale. Yeah. So, yeah. When it went on sale, it was like $3.99. I was like, okay, I'm all right with this. I'll buy this now or whatever it was.
Like, thank God for that $2 savings.
I know. Like, that's for some reason, like, if it's not like a regular, for some reason to me anyway, if it's not like a regular rounded off number, like if it's not 99 cents or $1.99 and then it jumps to like $9.99, like I wait to buy it. I don't know. Like $5.99 is a weird price point for me when it comes to digital games.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I can understand that.
So, No Time to Explain. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Hopefully.
Good. Well,
don't disappoint me, No Time to Explain.
If you, dear listener, reader, reviewer, extraordinaire, would like to play the game with us, please do. We do this show every other week for the most part. obviously, with the holidays, everything kind of gets crammed up against himself. But play the game with us, and then let us know your comments, your thoughts, and opinions on it. You can email us those at breakingbits@hotmail.com.
You sure can.
And now, it's time for... It came from eBay. It Came from eBay is the section of our show that I find the most hilarity ensues, where we scour the internet for obnoxious auctions involving video games and just outrageous prices or descriptions or the fact that it's just utter shit.
We sure do. And might I just say... that you have stolen my first pick.
Oh, did I?
Well, no, not officially.
Oh,
so
okay.
You sent out the show notes, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's right. I've got to pick eBay games. And I went, and I found what you have brought. And before I entered it into my reply, I was like, I better make sure Hunter didn't choose this one, because
right.
This seems also like an Eric choice. And sure as shit, here it is. So now with that giant buildup...
We have up for sale the one, the only Batman Arkham Origins for the Xbox 360, released in 2013 in used condition. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have a photo that was taken of the game itself.
Looks like an actual photo instead of the stock.
Yes. So we're all good there. Can be wrong. We do have a stock detailed information, which is pretty common.
Yeah.
And this game goes for the low price of a buy it now for $234,522.90. Let me say that one more time.
Yeah, I don't think I heard you right.
$234,522.90.
Like,
so this game
US
is
dollars?
Almost... U.S. Is it U.S. dollars? Yes, from Omaha, Nebraska, which apparently money grows on trees down there. So Batman Arkham Origins for the 360 released almost 2 years ago now, going for about $250,000.
Good luck with that. Yep. Yeah. You are correct, sir.
So let's see what we got going on here. Listing is for a used copy of Batman Arkham Origins formatted for the Xbox 360 system. Formatted? The fuck does that mean? Like, you can't format a game to work on a particular console.
It, like, makes it sound like they bootlegged it.
Yeah, like, it's kind of, I don't know, that was an interesting wording for me.
Yeah.
Product condition in detail. Oh, and it is in detail. Used, product is in used and good working condition. Game products will include game discs, case, cover art, and may or may not include the game's instruction manual. This one does not.
Wow.
Game discs may or may not feature slight scuffs, scratches per use, but they will hinder, but they will not hinder use or gameplay. Good. Good. I'm happy to hear that. By bidding on items, you are agreeing to pay for the item. Should you be the winning bidder? Unfortunately, we do not accept non-U.S. PayPal payments. Please do not bid if your PayPal is non-U.S. And then it's just a bunch of bullshit about shipping and returns. And
it's like I'm not buying a house. Why do I need all this fucking paperwork?
Yeah, like it's quite a bit. Ship only in the continental United States. We do not ship internationally or APOs, FPOs, U.S. territories, Alaska or Hawaii at this time. Really? You're buying a game that's $250,000. You can't ship it to fucking Alaska or Hawaii? Seriously? Really?
We don't know how.
Yeah, that's just... No. They do offer a 14-day money-back warranty on products. To qualify for a warranty, the product must be defective upon arrival and first play or has been damaged during shipping. So not just because you don't like it or because you paid $250,000 for a game that typically retails for about $4, it cannot be returned.
But honestly, though, if you paid $250,000 for this, you deserve what you get.
I agree. But this is being put on by a company called Gamers Incorporated.
GoGamers.com is their seller name.
Gamers Inc. operates various game retail locations in the Midwest, specializing in used games and accessories for over 17 years. Gamers has allowed any customer to get the game at an affordable cost. $250,000 is an affordable cost.
For who?
I don't know. Bill Gates? We have everything from the Atari 2600 to the Xbox 360, Game Gear to the 3DS and everything in between. Feel free to check out our other listings. We've got just about everything you want for your business or personal collection to grow. So, these guys are dickbags, in my opinion.
Should be fired out of a cannon into the sun.
Yes. So, $250,000 for a game that I remember didn't review very well. The other notable bit of information.
I don't know.
I couldn't remember if it was this one or the one after it. Arkham Asylum.
I can't remember. Asylum was the good one. Origins was still good, but it was like just a copycat of Asylum or something like that. I don't know. Whatever.
Gotcha. One other notable bit of information for this particular listing, which I encourage you to go check out just because of the hilarity, is the picture itself. Includes on the box a price tag for the game with a UPC code or whatever you want to call it. And the price has been not only permanent markered out, but somebody has actually gone in to a photo editor and put even more black on where the price of the game was on the sticker. So it was a little double duty. But unless if the font on the sticker itself is like 6-point font, there's no way you could fit that many digits for what this game is currently being sold for. So I'm guessing it was probably on sale for like $6.99. They wanted to make sure that nobody knew it was $6.99. Trying to get $250,000. So
yeah, you wouldn't want people to find that out.
Yeah.
Thank God they have no other means.
No. Dumb. So there you go.
Assholes. Hey, it's my turn.
Yes, Tom, it is.
Oh, man. We're going to enjoy this together as a family. I have L.A. Noire, official Team Bondi game documents from 2005, and then in parentheses, damn, and they official! For $5,999.99, $12 expedited shipping. Although I think the expedited shipping I figured out actually calculates itself based on where you are. So,
oh, really?
You might see something different.
No, mine's 12, yeah.
What's up, collectors? We have here an item that is truly unique and practically one of a kind. Okay, stop. Do you know what one of a kind means?
No, they don't.
Because you can't be practically one of a kind. It either is or it isn't. Is not.
Correct.
You could say extremely rare.
Can you?
I would rather you didn't, but you could. I mean, I'd rather you do that than say practically one of a kind, because that just makes my nose bleed. These are official, marked, dated L.A. Noire gaming documents from Team Bondi, also known as the developers of the game.
Just in case you didn't know.
To give a bit of backstory, oh, thanks. Team Bondi wanted to make a unique game depicting old L.A. with a noir style. So they pitched this to Sony to publish this title under their name. Planned out for the PlayStation 2, it was unfortunately denied by Sony until Bondi found their way to Rockstar to help them out. Yeah, Sony was probably busy making terrible Spider-Man games, or Spider-Man films, I should say, that would later turn into terrible Spider-Man games.
I was going to say, yeah, the Spider-Man games are still pretty bad.
This auction is for these two book, both
Jesus.
Both containing information for any and everything L.A. Noire. Oh, God. Hire a writer. You're terrible. From budget prices to how the controls work to even some early concepts that got cut in the final product of the game. All of this can be glimpsed through the photos we have listed. Wait.
No, keep going.
I know, it's just, it hurts. It's like swallowing a pine cone every time I read one of his sentences.
Like, now that sounds painful.
Condition-wise, it varies. What the fuck does... On the topmost book in the first picture, the book does have a bit of shelf wear and some dings to the plastic. No capitalization, whatever. Some dings to the plastic, if you can see, but it is very nicely intact. Wow. All of the pages seem to be great with no major rips and such. Oh, God! And everything is in order. As for the second book, it is about relatively the same condition.
Okay, so I just want to make a point. One of the things that I read from a famous writer in his book on writing by Stephen King, those who don't know grammar use a ton of commas. This description on this listing is littered with commas, like fucking everywhere.
Anyway, as for the second book, it is about relatively the same condition, with the only huge notable mark is the tear on the front, if you can see, with a bit coming off as is. Still, both these books look great and are fantastic and beautiful pieces for any gamer who wants to take a glimpse of how the pitching process works. These are very rare documents, and as stated from its previous owner who worked at Sony here in Culver City, Los Angeles. Wait, what? Los Angeles is not a state, you fucking idiot. They are 1 out of 10 documents being only made to be pitched to Sony and then thrown out. These will be shipped together, priority mail, and insured with tracking. They will be shipped within 4 business days. We do international shipping as well, so we have no problem doing so. The other part of that sentence doesn't need to be there. If you have any questions or would like more information, pictures, etc., please feel free to contact us. Head over to our other listings to see what other gaming goodness we have, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for new updates and pickups. And thank God that's over.
No.
Like, just the product itself for $6,000 is enough.
Right.
But that description,
it's pretty bad.
Like, it made me dumber. Like, I'm stupider now than I was 5 minutes ago.
And, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good.
I can't go any further with that one. It's terrible.
Maybe I need to play this game because everybody talks about this game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any good or not, but
who knows?
Yeah.
Nice find, Tom. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, I would have looked over it normally, but that damn Anae official. And I was like, damn, wait, stop. Let's get in here and see what's going on.
Let's back it up a bit. Yeah. Let's back it up. All right. Next up is Bomberman 64, The Second Attacked for Nintendo 64, N64, new sealed rarest N64 game for $4,999.99.
Now, I will say,
from Canada,
this game is actually quite rare.
Okay, so
I will give them that.
Let me start off by saying this. The first time I saw this listing, I was like, the rarest N64 game, huh? So I pulled up rarityguide.com.
Oh.
It is indeed considered the rarest game on the Nintendo 64.
Is it really?
I was like, okay. Huh. Okay. Touche. Like, it's the rarest by a wide margin. So I was like, all right. Okay, you got me. Good. It's factory sealed. Nice. Okay. All right. And then we get down to Bomberman series was one of my favorite games growing up. I used to be a great player at this game. I was a big fan of battle mode. I was not too much in the story mode. I loved the multiplayer competitive play this game used to have. Fun stuff. So let me just stop you right there. I don't know if this may be something new. I could give two shits about your feelings of the game. I just want to know what the details of the listing are. Okay? I want to know the condition, and I just don't care about your personal history.
When I was 10 years old.
Right. So, but the lister is, the seller, rather, is kind enough to continue.
Oh, good.
When the Xbox version came out, I played online cooperative play, and I used to beat everybody all the time. LOL. Every single time. I would laugh and allow them to blow each other up until I became the last standing one coming out on top.
Ugh.
Wait.
Why can't anyone write?
Everybody on the mic, MIC, was like, let's all team up against Network Man, LOL. And guess what? I still won out of 5 rounds. I loved this game in battle mode. Anybody up for a one-on-one duel? So now at this point, I'm starting to think that this is like a personal listing. Like this guy's looking for a date or something. And he's not actually selling a game. Anybody up for a one-on-one duel? I have not played this in ages. Loved this game. If you haven't, it's factory sealed. How have you played this game? Are you going to buy two? Like, are you going to know that when this game is released that it's going to be super rare? So you're going to buy two copies, one to play and one to sell later? Like, do people think that way?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, how do you know what's going to be rare and what's not going to be rare? I mean, like, some of the stuff that comes out, it's like, oh, it's limited edition. That doesn't mean it's going to be a rare item, you know? It could still be shit and nobody wants it. It doesn't make it rare just because it's limited edition. I don't know. Whatever. Let me continue because there's more. This game, and in general, the Bomberman series is one of my most prized possessions that I'm selling to you, even though it's my most prized possession. And we're not even talking about the game anymore. Now we're talking about the entire series as a whole. Unfortunately, this N64 game is not as mint as I would like it to be. I am the original owner, but I did find it in my basement with a bunch of toys and other 64 games around it.
What does that even
what
mean?
What the fuck does that mean? Yeah. What does that even mean? Tom, what does that even mean?
It means he's a dick muncher.
So, he reveals his gamer tag as Network Man, which I thought was pretty comical. Especially when everybody on the mic was all like, let's team up against Network Man, LOL. It makes me kind of want to seek this guy out, like, in another competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can say, hey, dickbag, Bomberman blows. And then proceed to destroy him in the game. Like, that's what I want to do.
But you love Bomberman.
I do love Bomberman. But this is for science, Tom.
Oh. Okay.
This is for science.
Gotcha.
Things change when it's for science.
This isn't very Canadian of him.
Or is it so Canadian?
Well, one
that us as Americans don't even know.
He didn't apologize once, so no.
No, that's true. He didn't.
We've talked to both Jason Lamb and Andrew Guerrero, and they start out conversations with apologies.
Yeah, that they do actually. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep.
Like, bro, stop it. just quit.
I'm beginning to question if he's even from Canada.
I don't think he
this
is.
This guy, network man.
But he is a longtime member. He's got 99.5% positive feedback. His seller name is Smook, S-M-O-O-K.
That just makes me want to punch him.
He is also selling a Sega Genesis 32X console for $300.
Like Genesis and 32X together, or just the
32X? Nope, just the Genesis.
What?
Or just the 32X. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fuck him.
Yeah. All Tom, right. Close us out.
Okay. I have Kane and Lynch 1-1 scale replica prop full life-size statue / figure star muckle / oxmox.
What the fuck is this?
For $3,299 even, it is supposedly a life-sized statue of the cover of the game Kane and Lynch Dead Man, or Dead Men, I should say.
What is that?
It is a terrible fucking game that was on the 360. It was a terrible series of games. And this was the last one. Because they're so terrible.
Ah.
And so for some reason, somebody decided that they were going to make an awful life-size statue of these two guys, with the one trying to kill the other and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I'm like,
I don't know why anybody would want this. I don't know why anybody thought it would be a good idea to make this. And I look, the detail's great.
Like, yeah, it looks pretty good.
Like, we've had statues on here before that were horrible quality.
Yes, we have.
I'm not questioning the quality at all. I am questioning why they think anybody would want this, especially at, you know, $3,300 plus $899 economy shipping from outside the U.S. It's coming from Germany. Maybe this game's popular there, like Hasselhoff.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Maybe
that's possible.
Kane and Lynch is the Hasselhoff of video gaming.
I've never even heard of this.
Oh yeah, go look up a review sometime.
I don't think I want to.
Well, I mean, you don't have to watch a Let's Play or anything.
So it's things like this, and like we've talked about it before, but it's like who is your audience?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, statuettes are great. You know, figures are cool. I've got quite a few of my own, but it's not only is it a 1-for-1 replica, full life size, but apparently it's of a game that was shit. Where would I put this, Tom?
I don't know. See, here's my thought, is that most people, you know, if they had to, could probably find room for maybe one life-size statue of something if they really, really loved the thing. Like, maybe if there was a life-size statue of Link playing the ocarina, I'd be like, well, maybe I can put this in that corner over there.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that would be because the game is amazing or it connected with you on some level. That's not this game. This is a fucking terrible game. I was gonna, like, man, I really wish I could commemorate an awful game somewhere in my home with a 6-foot statue.
I just don't know, man.
I don't either.
It's sad, really.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to know.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
The statue does look pretty good, though.
It is. It's of great quality. But I would rather them look at that or take that level of detail to something that I would want.
Exactly. Yeah. like anything other than this.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Horrible.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's that.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, ladies and gentlemen, it came from eBay. Tom, let's move on to emails.
All right, and we're done.
Fantastic. If you, dear listener, would like to email us questions, thoughts, comments, tell us a story.
Ooh, I like stories.
Yeah, you can do so by emailing us at breakingbits@hotmail.com. As you can see, we have a slew of emails coming through our inbox every day, so we cannot guarantee that we will read it on air. But if you have a funny header in the subject line, or possibly contains a paintbrush photo of Tom taking a shit on point-and-click games, we will be sure to bump that to the top.
It's not my fault they're terrible. At this point,
I think it is, Tom.
At this point, I would read like Viagra spam emails. At this point, we don't even get those. Like, we're not even popular enough to get spam email. Like,
wow. But yet we keep on going. We just keep on going. All right. With that, we want to thank Mr. Jake McClanahan. That's his last name, right?
Uh-huh.
McClanahan.
Yeah. Okay.
You can find him at NeoJakeMCC on Twitter. We also link to his SoundCloud page in the show notes on the website. He does Tronix, which was created specifically just for Breaking Bits. We thank him time and time and time again, and for we'll be ever thanking him for the excellent track that he has contributed to us.
Oh, yeah.
Tom, where can we find you out and about on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Ocarina of Tom. You can check out my work over at One More Castle, where I contribute bi-weekly, and Eric Hunter and myself are co-community managers. You can also check out the spam Tumblr, where I capture some of One More Castle's greatest spam comments. You can check that out at onemorecastlespam.tumblr.com, and check out my personal blog at thomas-hall.com.
Tom, you are everywhere.
Not quite. I'm just many places.
Just many places.
I'm Legion.
You are. We all obey. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Eric Hunter. My official catch-all everything me site, ericmhunter.net, has officially gone live in snazzy, dazzling color. So if you're looking for all things me, that is definitely the place to go. You'll also get exclusive content that will be only featured on that site. So if you're looking for my rantings and ravings of the video game industry and everything in whole,
I am.
Please check out ericmhunter.net.
Yeah.
Also, including being a co-community manager with the lovely and talented Mr. Tom Hall, I am also the audio engineer for the podcast over there entitled One More Podcastle. So you can check out some retro gaming goodness. And, of course, you can always find all of my indie game from a console gamer's reviews here only at iamericm.com.
You're also everywhere.
I am everywhere.
Is that new site in Technicolor?
No, I didn't do anything Technicolor-ish.
I looked at it. It's pretty.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you've done well.
Started working on it back in August, so
the dream.
The hardest part was just rounding up every fucking thing that I've ever written ever, and putting it on there. Like, that fucking took forever. Jesus Christ. So, and more content to come, obviously.
Never stop. Never stop.
I don't plan on it.
Cool. So. Good. Good.
All right. Well, it's been a podcast.
It sure has.
So we will. Please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your finer podcasts are aggregated. Because it helps us. We need to get up in those search results. You want to expose those precious ears to our sultry voices.
You sure do.
You sure do. And with that, Tom, I will bid you adieu.
Okay, see ya.
Okay, bye.